Welcome to My Orgasmic Life podcast, a show that where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and kink. And of course, my favorite part, I share with you my very graphic, very juicy, and always entertaining orgasmic life. I'm Gaia Morissette, your hostess, and your holistic sexual wellness specialist, your trauma healer, your BDSM expert, and of course, your pro dominatrix. The show was inspired to inspire you to support your orgasmic living. Remember, always check the content warning before you listen and make sure you're listening where no one else can hear it, because you never, ever know what I'm going to say, because I always come with an explicit graphic content warning. Now, strap in and enjoy the show.
Well, hello, my fabulous, loyal, hopefully sexy and horny people, listeners. Okay, so the dreadful dun dun dun. I'm in perimenopause. Crap. So, why is this important to me to talk about? Well, it's important for me to talk about being in perimenopause and what that means for my world, but also to start having conversations about, menopause, perimenopause, postmenopause, because it affects. Women, vagina owners, it affects us. And then it usually affects our sex lives, and then it affects our relationships, and it affects our relationships with our, coworkers, our friends, our children, our partners. It's an important conversation. And again, in line with how does this affect my orgasmic life? Well, you'll find out soon. Okay, so first thing, so if you're not going through, this is an important conversation to have, but it's also an important conversation for everyone, because if you understand what's going on in your own body, there's all sorts of ways in which you can manage it. If you understand what's going on in the, women's lives around you, you can avoid them. No, no, but you'll have a little more understanding of what's happening for them, and not be like, why is all of a sudden she's fucking crazy? What the fuck? So listen, pay attention. Okay. All right. So I would say probably about 2 months ago, I started like just sweating. So hot flashes. But I didn't think they were hot flashes. I had the flu at the time. So I just thought it's that cold, clammy. All of a sudden you're sitting there and you're just like dripping in sweat, and then you're freezing afterwards. And you know what happens when you have like a fever. And so I just figured it was a flu. It was part of my flu symptoms. But then my flu went away and I kept sweating. And I kept sweating all night, and I kept sweating all day, and I just like sweating from my hair, sweating, just dripping off of me. And for me, this is like the worst possible side effect. I hate sweating. I'm not a sweaty person. I can be really, really hot and not really sweat. I choose typically one of the reasons that swimming is my favorite sport is because I'm already wet. So if I'm sweating, I don't notice. Right. So this is a big deal for me, because it's not, I don't like the sensation. I don't like the feeling. I don't feel beautiful. I don't feel sexy. So it's an important piece of why hot flashes are horrible for me. And at, some point during this podcast, I'll probably have another one. If you're all of a sudden, you're like, wow, Empress has a glow. No, that's just sweat. That's just sweat. So I was in denial. And so then, you know, there's some other things about that I was in denial about. You know, my body's probably been in perimenopause for a while, but I didn't want to be in perimenopause for numerous reasons. One, I wasn't looking forward to having to deal with the symptoms that happen. So some of the symptoms may include and be more others, you know, hot flashes. And so perimenopause, just for everybody's listening, is the precursor to menopause, where your body is no longer producing estrogen and other hormones in your reproduction. But perimenopause is your body's kind of like still slightly producing it, producing it drastically, not producing it, your hormones at all. And so you're like a yo-yo all over the place. All right. So it's kind of feels like the beginning of just before you're menstruating, you know, where you're like hormones are kind of out of whack. It's like that, but times 10. Right. So my body has probably been in perimenopause for at least a year or so. But because I was so ill last year and had surgery, my body really had to focus all of its energy on just, you know, recovering and healing and things like that. And so, you know, I wasn't having any overt symptoms that I was really aware of. And we did some testing, but at this stage of perimenopause, it's hard to catch, you know, your hormonal influx. So as far as blood work came back, it was like, no, you're good. You're not in menopause, which means I wasn't in menopause, but that didn't mean I wasn't in perimenopause. Okay. So the major reason why I didn't want to go into menopause is, and perimenopause is because it means that the thing that I've been trying to do for the last 2 years, which is induce lactation, means that it's not on the table anymore. My hormones are too in flux to be fucking with them. They're trying to sort it out. They're going to make my symptoms worse the more I try. It's just not doable. And that made me really sad because, you know, if you're like, what's she talking about? Go listen to some of my episodes on, you know, induced lactation, so that you can understand, like, why was that a kink? Why was I doing that? You know, all of the beautiful parts of that. And so if I admitted it, whether it was happening or not, I could stay in the delusion. I could stay in the delusion. No, we can totally do this. Nothing to see here. I just have a flu. I don't know why I'm crying more. It's probably just because I'm not feeling well. So finally, after, having some conversations with, you know, Mistress Dana, and, you know, she's, you know, the other part that I don't really talk much about, but, you know, I kind of suffer from a little bit about Peter Pan syndrome, which is, you know, I don't really want to get old. And, you know, I'm eternally in this youthfulness, which is true. I am, because of my personality, because of who I am, like all these things. But, you know, I was like really kicking and screaming about don't want to, you know, I don't want to look my age and I don't want to get old. And so these are things that, you know, are the ugly side of of not total acceptance. I know I talk about acceptance and every stage you're beautiful and I talk about all that stuff, but personally I've been struggling with those things. Okay. So, and as always, I have to be real and honest and raw and, you know, say it how it is. So, you know, no sugarcoating. So there was a lot of like, no, I don't want to. So, you know, with some talking through, working through some shit and then coming to this true acceptance, I went to the doctor.
And, you know, I went to the doctor and my doctor's like, okay, here's some options. First, we got to do blood work again, just to make sure that, you know, some of the symptoms. So I'm having, these are the symptoms that I'm having. My libido has dropped. You're like, what? It's not horny? The world's coming to an end, right? That's what I'm thinking. It's coming to an end. Don't worry. We have some solutions. Right? So my libido has dropped. We talked about the hot flashes, which right now I have one coming on. It's like I'm sweating everywhere now. It's like, whoo, hot. It's like I'm on fire. So emotional. Your emotional regulation is all over the place. That's a hormonal response. You know, last 2 weeks ago, yeah, 2 weeks ago, you know, my massage got canceled and I like cried, sat down on the floor, and just cried like a baby, like the world had come to an end and there's no way I can function. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, that kind of stuff happens sometimes for me when I'm like, I become extra emotional and extra cryy, you know, leading up the week, leading up to my period. So I'm like, this feels like that. This is not a, rational, emotional reaction to the circumstance or situation. So I'm like, okay, yeah, check. All right. Now some of the other symptoms are, you know, fog, brain fog, but I, you know, and word recall, I kind of already have some of that stuff all the time anyways from being dyslexic. So if it's happening, I'm not really, it's not registering for me. The other big symptom is like not being able to sleep, and I've never really slept well. So I don't really know. Probably, but it won't, it may have been something, you know, because of menopause or perimenopause, I may not be sleeping very well, but I've never really slept well. So it's not really affecting me so much. And then, you know, there's joint pains that can happen, but again, I have chronic pain, so I wouldn't notice this difference. So for me, the big three symptoms are, you know, I'm crying over spilled milk. I'm not as horny as I should be, or as I usually am. And I can't stop sweating. So we go to the doctor because, you know, my lovely, lovely Dana says to me, maybe don't look at it as menopause. She's trying to get over, trying to help me move through my denial. Think about it as stopping sweating. I'm like, oh, I like that idea. Okay, I'll do whatever I need to do to stop sweating. We can call it whatever we want to call it, but if I can stop sweating, I don't care. That's all I care about is stop sweating. I can even handle the other two. I can handle my emotional regulation, and I have some tools to, you know, change my libido response and things like that, which we'll talk about in another episode, or maybe this one. I don't know. We'll see. See how much more I have to talk about. So I go to the doctor. She's like, okay, we need to do blood work to make sure that you don't have anything else going on, that this is what, you know, it's just perimenopause. And then, you know, there's some, you know, things that we can do. We can put you on birth control to help, you know, stabilize your and regulate your system, your hormonal system. She's like, there's apparently a whole bunch of other options to stop me from sweating, which is one I'm really care. It's what I really care about. And, you know, she informed, I was like, oh, we'll just do hormone replacement. And she's like, you don't want to do hormone replacement right now because it'll make you bleed everywhere because you already, you still have those hormones producing, but they're just erratically producing them in your system. And I'm like, oh, okay. Right. No, bleeding is not any more sexy than sweating. So no, thank you. So then I had to like embrace it.
Right. I embraced it. I went to the doctor. I embraced it. I had to tell all of my clients who were really into, this whole induced lactation that, we're not going to actually be able to do that, but we can add that into, we can, play some fantasies and, with the help of, a tube and some other, implements, we can fill it up with whatever liquid we want. So we can have some fun in that. So I like embrace, like I had to let go of that, desire and that fantasy and change it to one that's going to work. And really lean in, as you can tell, I'm doing this podcast, really lean in to telling everybody what's going on. Sorry, you guys. Sorry about that, guys. And at first that felt like, okay, well, if we're talking about it, it's like, oh my God, like I'm not gonna be desirable and I'm not gonna be sexy anymore. And the world won't see me as, this sex goddess because, I'm moving into this new phase of being like the crone, being a crone and being older. And like, what does that mean? And so, it's an important part of the why a lot of people, a lot of women in particular, really go through denial. Like we deny it for a really long time until we can't, because it's like we've been taught in our North American society that being old is like the worst possible thing you could be, especially as a woman. Like you're not useful anymore. You can't produce babies anymore. You're not sexy. You're not, you're a grandma and grandmas aren't sexy. And like, it's like this whole idea that as women, we age and we lose our beauty in the aging process and we kind of become invisible and invisible, especially as a sexual in the realm of being sexual. And often, sadly, as many things in our society has a double standard. Men as they age tend to, we find them more attractive and we find them more handsome and they have more power and they have typically have more confidence and they have more wealth. And there's like all this stuff that makes it them getting old sexy. But as women, we are not allowed to be, we're not allowed to be sexy and be older. Which is not true. It's not true at all. But I'm like, okay, so how do I find the new sexy? How do I find this next evolution of my, my aging process? How do I find the beauty in it? How do I find the sexy in it? How do I, embrace it? And how do I embrace it from, being, seen as a sex goddess? And how do I still say sex goddess? No matter if my hair gets gray and I get wrinkles and, my boobs sag a little bit more and, like my body changes. And how do I embrace this new, the new? And not only embrace it, but claim it. And so a big part of that is about talking about it and owning it and, saying to my clients, my BDSM clients, like, the other day I was having a session and I was like, okay, just so you know, I've stepped into perimenopause right now. And so during the session, I might break out sweating. Just know that that's what's going on. And, it was interesting as my clients looking at me like, why are you telling me this? Guess we don't talk about it, right? Like, we don't talk about, hey, I have my period right now, or like we just don't talk about these things. And so, when my co kind of looking at me like, what does that mean? And I just explained, if I'm sweating, I don't have a fever. I'm not sick. I'm not contagious. I might be just extra slippery. My clients, oh, okay. And so that's a big part of reclaiming this. If for me, I mean, part of my journey of why I am who I am and what I do in the world is to make the world a sexier, safer, happier, hornier place for us all. And, to normalize sex and sexuality and the experience of sexuality and the journey of sexuality. So this is a big one. Okay, so let's talk about my sex drive. So my sex drive has dropped, which means, and I've talked about this in other podcasts about menopause, you know, and I teach all my clients, all my, you know, female clients, all my friends, everybody who's going through this process about, they're like, the biggest, there's like, their libido dries up. And it doesn't dry up, it just changes. And so there's that, again, there's that piece of grieving the old and embracing the new. So I had to, I'm like, okay, right, what do I teach everybody? What do I do? So I'm like, okay, I need to connect sexually in a different way. Instead of it just being my body's hormonally running at a horny level, I'm going to have to choose it. And I'm going to have to choose more arousal from energy. And I'm going to have to, like, there's a bunch of things that I have to do. So I've started that process. You know, I got a little alarm set on my phone that says horny time. It's on an app called Randomly Remind Me. So I don't know when it's when that little horny time is going to pop up on my phone. And when it does, it's for me to drop into the sensory awakening and the arousal that comes from the sensory awakening. Not hormonal, but the sensory in the body. And then the energetic arousal response. So, you know, you're like, what is the energy? It's the sex energy that we can create. So, you know, think practices like Tantra, Taoism, many other sacred sexual practices, they believe that you can basically chi, life force energy is also sex energy. And so we can create it, direct it. And so it's like, okay, these are the ways that I need to find the new horny. What's the new version of my horny? You know, how do I get to that, you know, throbbing, aching desire of, you know, having an orgasm or, you know, wanting to jump somebody or, you know, the primal lustful side of me? How do I wake that up? And so the last week, a little party time that, you know, I'll do a couple of things. I'll like do some breathing, rapid breathing, which is a great one to like build up the sex energy into your body. Unfortunately, though, it also pulls my temperature up, so then I also start sweating. So I have to embrace. I got to embrace the sweating. We're not there yet, but you know, I'm a work in progress. I got to embrace that. You know, every time I do make myself horny, it means I'm hotter, and then I'm sweating. So I got to embrace. All right, this means that we're gonna have a hot flash while this is happening. So you know, rapid breathing, doing some Kegels, and sending the Kegel, you know, the building that sexual energy in my root chakra, which is my genitals, and sending it up through my body, and then building it up so that it's like, ooh, I'm tingly all over. I'm like, all right, this is what this feels like. There's just dropping into the sensory moments of like, oh, the sun feels really good on my skin, or the wind feels really good on my skin, and the water feels so, like, as it runs down my neck, what does that feel like? Oh, that's nice. And it, you know, goes across my nipple. Like really starting to focus on being in my sensory body, you know, sight, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, right? You know, touching, you know, myself, or touching, you know, other things around me, and feeling that sensation, and like, oh, I really like the fuzzy, and I like the smooth, and, you know, and how that feels good, and that's pleasurable, and we can have more of that. Besides just genital, you know, straight up genital stimulation with toys and stuff. And yes, my orgasms have been changing. That's the other thing too, is that my how I have an orgasm, I'm not as like quick to be orgasmic. I have to like, it's a slow build, and it builds. And then when I do have an orgasm, it's like an intense orgasm. But instead of like having like 100 of them, I may only have 5. It, so, you know, things are changing. And as I, you know, as I embrace them and as I, you know, embrace the new and grieve the old, the more I grieve the old and let go of the old, the more I can say yes to the current, the more, orgasmic, and I will be back to my orgasmic, horny ways. But that's a shift, right? It's something that I have to consciously choose to do, which is something that I teach a lot of people, but I've never really had to do it myself, because I'm just naturally just a horny horn dog or horny goat. So yeah. So that's what's happening with my hormones. I'm like working on, you know, I'm working on making myself horny. We'll find out next week on what we can do to stop the sweating. I went to my massage therapist who does acupuncture, and he did a acupuncture to help with that. And it actually, I only had like 5 hot flashes instead of 25 hot flashes that day. So I'm like, oh, that's good. Okay, so we'll keep doing acupuncture. That should help. The other thing that I've learned is that I drink a lot of water, but I forgot about the part of like if you just drink water without something in it, like lemon or a pinch of salt or something in it to get your stomach to start to digest and activate, the water just kind of goes through you. And what that means when you're in perimenopause is more hot flashes, not less hot flashes, more hot flashes. So since I saw my massage therapist on Tuesday, it's now Thursday, I've been having a little less hot flashes because I've been adding a little pinch of salt to my water. So my body isn't having to flush all this water out of me through sweat. So that's exciting. The nice thing is, you know, when it's cold, I usually run like my most of my life I've been freezing. Like I've just been freezing. So, for the first time ever, you know, the other day I was standing outside. It was only like, I don't know, 2 degrees out. I'm standing outside in like this sundress. I'm like, ah, it's so nice out here. I was having a hot flash. I also now understand why my mother always had the windows open in the winter. When I was younger, I'm like, oh, now I'm getting it. You know, when you see, you know, women standing, you know, in the snow wearing, you know, as little as possible, I'm like, oh, now I understand. I get it. I get it. I totally understand. And now let's talk about the emotional regulator part, because I know this can be really awful. So I happen to be lucky in that I've spent my whole life learning how to manage my emotions and how to emotionally regulate. And so I'm an expert at this. I mean, I teach everybody how to do this. I mean, I'm an expert. So for me, it's just an awareness. Like I said, I'm crying over my massage therapist canceling on me. And I'm like, oh, wait. Like I'm in the middle of crying and I think it's the end of the world. And I'm like, oh, right. This doesn't feel like an end of the world moment. Okay, what's going on? Okay, shake it off. Let's laugh about the ridiculousness of it. Let's change our biochemical response in our bodies. Let's, you know, be gentle with ourselves. You know, make other people aware, kind of like the way that I would do when, you know, the week leading up to my period, right? I would tell my partner, I'm like, you know, he'd be looking at me and he'd be like, how are you doing? And I'm like, woo! He's like, is everything okay? I'm like, wait. Oh, my period's coming. And then we would both laugh about it. And he's like, okay. And I may continue to cry, but it's, now I know why I'm crying. Like, it's not the end of the world. It's not real. It's like not true. It's not the feelings that I'm having in that moment aren't legit, right? They are a response, an emotional response to what's going on in my body hormonally. And they make things feel so much bigger. It's kind of like when you're a teenager and you're going through puberty and the whole world's coming to an end because you have a, you know, because you got a pimple. Like, it feels like the whole world's coming to an end. But the thing with when you're teenagers, you know, adults are trying to tell you that that will pass. And so I'm spending a lot of time just reminding myself of that and being gentle with myself and laughing about how, wow, I really thought that was the end of the world. That's not the end of the world. Shake it off, girl, shake it off. What do you need to do? Miggle your bum, laugh hysterically, go frolic with some goats. What do you need to do? To like shift. And knowing that it's not. And I don't want to say not real because it is real. It's what you're feeling in the moment. It's what you're feeling. But what I want to say is not necessarily real, which that's what I tell myself because I understand it. But I don't want to negate somebody's feelings ever. Okay. But there's, you know, there's kind of like when we're triggered, I talk a lot about triggers, right? So when we're triggered by something and we have an over the top reaction to something, it's not the thing that we're really reacting to, it's the trigger. And so when we're healing, we have to go find out what that trigger is and change and heal the trigger so that the next time somebody says that phrase or you're in that experience or whatever, your reaction isn't the end of the world. It's not over the top, either terror or anger or fear, whatever it is. So this is similar, right? There's a similarity in that this is an emotional, this emotion reaction is a hormonal reaction, right? It's not that the, you know, it is not, even though I think it's the end of the, I feel in that moment like it's so big and it's so, and my massage therapist doesn't care. Like, this is crazy, crazy shit, okay? That's happening in that moment. I can like stop. Recognize, oh yeah, this is a reaction that's over the top for the circumstance. Either two things are happening. One, I'm triggered by something, or two, this is a hormonal reaction, which means that there doesn't need to be as much. We don't want to give it as much power, I guess is the way to put it, is that I don't want to say, like in that moment, it feels real. And yeah, I'm feeling those things. And so I'm really feeling those things. But that doesn't mean that I have to continue to put more stock in it. Right? I can be like, oh, right, this is hormonal. We can laugh. We can make another choice. We can sit here and finish our cry because it feels good. And then we can get up and go do stuff. You know, because we're crying isn't awful for us, right? It's not a horrible thing to do. So just, you know, if you need to finish cry, but know that your massage therapist still cares about you. And sometimes he gets sick. You don't have to blow up your relationship with the massage therapist because cancel on you. And that's the end of the world. See where I'm going with this? Right. So it's very important that, and so a lot of my friends and a lot of women who've gone before me, as I've bared witness to, have blown up friendships, relationships, work environments, interfered in the relationship with their kids, have done all sorts of things because hormones have taken over. And they haven't been able to regulate it. And there's drugs that can help regulate it. And there's, you know, there's meditation that can help regulate it. And there's, you know, all these tools. And you may need to find a, you know, somebody, a coach or somebody like me or a therapist that can help you to start to recognize, oh, what that's different than legitimate something legitimately is going on and you're having a legitimate reaction versus you're having a triggered reaction or you are having an emotional hormonal reaction to it. And again, I'm nowhere in there am I negating that what you're feeling is what you're feeling. And it is, it feels it. But it's not how you perceive it, is a better way of putting it. It's not as big as you perceive it. It's not as ugly as you perceive it. It's not something to make a drastic life choice from that place. So learning, I think that's the biggest, you know, another big piece of both perimenopause and going in and having menopause is learning how to acknowledge our hormonal emotions without letting our hormonal emotions control our lives and take over our lives and help and make the decisions for our lives. So that one's a big one. Okay. And then there's, you know, things that we can do around sleep and, you know, joint pains and, you know, vaginal, you know, dryness. And like, there's a whole bunch of stuff that will happen. And as I, you know, as I continue my journey and, you know, I'll give you updates on, you know, how are things going with, you know, whatever, you know, we got for me, like I said, my big symptom for me is I want to handle is the sweating part. I got my other symptoms handled at the moment. But as this comes along and as I have more conversations with more people, I'm going to continue to share. I think it's important. Okay. So if you too, or you're in a relationship with your partner who all of a sudden is having all those things go on, you may need some support. All right, reach out to me. And as a loving reminder, if you didn't listen to my episode last week's episode, you know, I do all sorts of beautiful, I have all sorts of beautiful different modalities that I help people heal. We have body work, we have goat assisted therapy sessions, you know, inner child, advanced inner child reprogramming, you know, as well as cognitive reprogramming, all sorts of beautiful ways in which I can help support you living the best version of yourself and having the most amount of joy, because ultimately it's all about the most amount of joy, the most amount of pleasure, and the most amount of feeling safe in the world. Those are the pieces that I'm here to help with, okay? So you don't have to struggle by yourself. There's resources for you. There's lots of resources. The key is finding which one works the best for you. And that what you're going through and what you're feeling is valid, right? I really want you to take that away from this, is that it's valid. Your life is drastically shifted and a lot of things are going on. And hormonally, it affects a lot of pieces of our bodies and our emotional state of being and our moods. So what you're going through is real, and what you're going through can be incredibly uncomfortable and challenging. But you don't have to struggle and suffer alone with it. Okay? Reach out to me. I got you. All right. Until next time, stay curious. Try to be horny. Find your horniness. And always be joyful. Well, don't always be joyful, but try to find the joy. Laugh lots. Till next time. Bye-bye. Well, I hope today's episode inspired you, encouraged you, and of course, made you feel tingly inside. I just want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate the time that you spend and how I really deeply appreciate you listening. I do it for you guys, the audience. And I love and adore you guys. So
Quick loving reminder, I am not available for naked pictures, getting married, having sex, or having anybody's babies. And when you want to spend more time with me in a professional capacity as your coach, your teacher, your educator, your facilitator, you can reach me at GaiaMorissette.com. That's the gateway to all things Gaia. Now, if you're like, oh, I really wonder what's in the extended version. I also lovingly invite you to follow me on Instagram, which the handle is My Orgasmic Life Podcast, where you can leave feedback and comments. Also come join me on Facebook at My Orgasmic Life Podcast Facebook group. And I really want to hear from you. I want to know how this show affected you. What did you learn? Was it inspirational? Did you agree? Do you disagree? I want to know, because I'm a little bit of a voyeur. So I want to know how am I affecting you? So please, please, please come leave some comments. Now, if you're like, but I don't want everybody to know what I'm thinking, which is okay. Sometimes we need privacy and we need to be anonymous. So you would like that option? We have that. Okay, listeners, until next time, may your life be filled with sexy exploration and orgasmic pleasure. Mwah!